Good morning.
Y'all don't know what to do if it's not Jeff up here, do you? Jeff kind of comes up here and everybody gets quiet. I was just kind of waiting to see how long it would take. Anyway, we are really glad that you are here this morning. And I hope you have been made to feel welcome this morning. I hope somebody has spoken, hug your neck, and loved on you a little bit. We do want to know who was here this morning. So if you will, take the pew pads and fill them out and pass them back to the center. I think that's how that works, isn't it? Anyway, pass those down and make sure we have a thing saying that you were here this morning. A couple words of announcement. Wednesday evening, no regular family night. Instead, we will have a Thanksgiving Eve service at 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. I hope you will be here. It is a meaningful part of the holiday for me. And I said this morning, it always feels a little bit like family when we come together on Thanksgiving Eve. And I say some of the kids that have been afar off come home for Thanksgiving. And it's just a warm time of fellowship and thankfulness and worship. Couple other announcements. If you or your family or your Sunday school is interested in adopting a family for Christmas, for White Christmas, if you will let Joan know, and I think she needs to know that today, this week. Also, poinsettias are coming up, and they need to have those. Who you want that in honor or in memory of, and your payment in the office by next Sunday. If by any chance you came in this morning looking for flowers or looking at the flowers, there was a flower mix-up this morning that will be rectified hopefully next week. Those of you who know what that is and we're looking for them know exactly what's going on there. Anyway, we are glad that you are here this morning. Like I said, I hope you have been made to feel welcome. If you are a first-time guest this morning, if you would not mind just raising your hand just a little bit. Hopefully we've already gotten your information on the pew packets, but we would love to give you a little information about us and who we are and what God is doing here at College Park. And so we'd love to give you a visitor's packet. We are coming into the Thanksgiving season. And maybe it's been hard for you to be thankful as you've gone places and realized that Christmas is already out there, or you've looked at the world and realized just how messed up a world we live in. And maybe thankfulness is not the first thing in your hearts this morning. But I come here to tell you we serve a very good God, that in the midst of the things that make no sense to us, He is still there and He is still present. He carries us through. He does things that are behind the scenes sometimes we never even know about, or we miss because we're so focused on the other things. And I'm convinced the missed happens more often than the it's not obvious. But we come this morning to worship that great God. And so I hope this morning you will cast aside any of those things that might distract you this morning from how truly wonderful our God is, and focus on Him. We're going to pray to that end. Our Lord and our God, it is good to be in this place this morning. Lord, to feel the warmth of fellowship. Lord, to know that You are present in this place with us. And Lord, I ask even now that whatever burdens we carried in with us this morning, Lord, whatever would keep us from hearing Your voice and seeing Your greatness this morning, that even now we could cast aside. Help us to focus our hearts on You. Lord, help us to sing and to worship with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength this morning. And Lord, we ask that all of this will be done to the glory of Your name. And it's in that name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen.
While you're being seated, you can find your Bible or your pew Bible. And while you're doing that, I want to ask the ushers if they would come forward. I was minister of miscellaneous for 11 years, and I'm used to doing the announcements. Mary is a novice at this, and she forgot to welcome our guest. And we certainly want to. Did you do it? Did you welcome our guest?
I did.
I don't know where I went. Never mind, ushers. That shows how much attention I pay to you. And I was, for some reason, I was thinking she forgot our guest. Guest, I hope you felt doubly welcome now. Yeah, well, thanks, ushers. Roll with it. Psalm 93. Now you've had plenty of opportunity to get to Psalm 93. And Krista is not here. Jeff is not here. So that leaves Mary to do well and me mess up. So it's good. Psalm 93. We'll begin in verse 1. It's a short psalm. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. O Lord. Psalm 93 is an appropriate reading for today. And if you look on the church calendar, not the secular calendar as we call it, but the church calendar, this is Christ the King Sunday. The reading from the lectionary for the sermon from John will seem a little bit out of place if you think too much about it, because you say, well, next week begins Advent. Why are we reading about Jesus before Pilate the week before we begin Advent? Well, I think it's appropriate, because if we don't know who Jesus came to be, if we do not know who Jesus is, then there's really no reason to celebrate Advent. So this is Christ the King Sunday. It's also particularly appropriate that this is Thanksgiving week, because if Christ is not King, we have little reason to be thankful. If Christ was just another man, then we have very little reason to be thankful. This week I had an opportunity to hear about a lady that I had a chance to meet. She had a very rough life. She has had a very rough life. And if anyone ever had an excuse to be bitter or angry, resentful, all of the above, this lady probably, she has reason. And yet, I heard that her prayer every single day begins like this: God, help me to want what I have. Think about that. The antithesis of that would be, God, let me have what I want. And unfortunately, most of us are kind of in that category at times. But her prayer is, help me to want what I have. In other words, help me to be thankful. Help me to live a life of gratitude. Help me not to get caught up in the rat race of wanting and wanting and wanting other stuff, but let me be thankful for what you've blessed me with. As we think about this week and Thanksgiving, maybe our prayer can be, Father, help me to want what I already have and to rest in who you are and what you've provided for me. Let's pray and ask for his help. Gracious Father, on this day, we come to worship around the theme of Christ the King. Your Son who was sent. Your Son who was sent to save. And who now sits at the right hand as an intercessory for us, unworthy though we are. Father, we pray that this week and every day forward, we will be grateful people. People who are truly thankful for what you've blessed us with. This church, the ministries and missions of this church, our families, the people that we interact with daily, the opportunities that you give us to bless you by the things we say and the things that we do. Father, help us to be people who are so grateful that others want to know the source of our gratitude. Father, we know that there are a lot of people who are hurting and that their pain and suffering is very real. And they're distracted by that, especially on a week when everybody's talking about Thanksgiving. Perhaps they don't feel thankful. May we be a blessing to them, and that you receive the glory through that. Father, be with those. Comfort those who need your help. Father, put us in the path of those who have lost loved ones, who have received difficult diagnosis, who are just hurting. Help us to be the hands and feet of Christ, to continue the work that he began. For it's in his precious name that we pray.
Will you join me in prayer, please? Father God, today we pray for our troubled world to know that until we are at peace with you, we can be at peace with no one else. That freedom can exist nowhere unless it exists everywhere. We pray that your love will guide the nations of the world into the ways of truth and justice and establish among them that peace. For those men and women that we have entrusted the authority of the government, we pray for the spirit of wisdom to be on them, that they would seek truth, and above all, be obedient to your will. Lord, in the time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness. And in the day of trouble, do not allow our trust in you to fail. Father God, you have given our pastor, our ministerial staff, our Sunday school teachers, special gifts of grace to understand and teach the faith as it is in Jesus Christ. Grant that by these teachings, we may know you as the one true God. Lord, we pray for your blessings on these gifts the church receive on this day, and grant each giver a sense of obedience to you and a commitment to this, your church. We pray that you will help us ever to be mindful of needs of others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Christ the King Sunday, leading us up to Thanksgiving, leading us up to the first Sunday of Advent, which is hope. All of these things come together. They're not accidental. I believe God in His plan moves our heart from a place of recognizing who He is to a place of thanking Him for not only for who He is, but what He does for us. As I looked at this passage of Scripture today from John chapter 18, I really struggle with how to make that connection between Christ the King Sunday and Thanksgiving, but as I read through it, as I read some notes from a book called Reading John, as I read the notes of a fellow named Benjamin Ollis Iverson, as I read the Interpreter's Bible, as I read the Interpreter's Study Bible, it all kind of came together. And I thought, well, certainly, you know, it ought to be a spirit of Thanksgiving that takes us into Advent. So certainly this is an appropriate passage of Scripture for this Sunday. It's from John chapter 18, beginning in verse 33. And as I've always already prefaced, it's the story of where Jesus is before Pilate. It's after Peter's second and third denials, and Jesus is brought before Pilate to begin answering questions. In verse 33, it says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. It was your people, your chief priest, who handed you over to me. What is it that you've done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place. You're a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I find it a little ironic, a little bit amusing, a little bit sad that the lectionary reading stops just short of one of the more profound retorts in all of Scripture. I know you have to stop somewhere. I get that. I understand that. But the very nature of the gospel is in the balance, and we stop reading. Jesus has said here that he's bringing truth into the world. And we don't stick around for the reply, really? I mean, really? We got to stop there? Verse 38, look at it. What is truth? Pilate asked. What is truth? That question is how John, I think, would have us to remember this whole scene. You say, well, Raymond, as a society, we just had this problem with ending a story on questions. It's kind of like ending a song on a minor chord. People don't like that. They want resolution. We need to resolve it. We want to be able to say, well, this is what happened, and all of my questions have been answered. And they lived happily ever after, right? We were taught as children, that's the way you end stories. They all lived happily ever after. It's that same tension we feel when we're watching a one-hour crime drama on television. And it's 8 minutes till, and there are four unresolved storylines left in the episode, and we're going, how in the world are they going to resolve all of these storylines? Because we still have another minute, 30 seconds of advertisements to endure. That leaves us only 6.5 minutes to pull it all together. It'll never work out. I'm very uncomfortable with my crime drama. And then we get to the hour and we see those three dreaded words, to be continued. And we realize it's not going to be resolved. We have to wait till next Wednesday night to see it. And that's not going to happen because we're going to be at the Thanksgiving Eve service. All of these issues, all of this drama, all of this dissatisfaction. We want resolution. And we want it now. And that may be the precise reason that we need to end with a question rather than an answer. We need to. So much of life is filled with doubt. So much of life is filled with unresolved, unanswered questions. Questions like, why did my loved one die too early? What in the world is going on with my kids? How can people act so cruelly toward other people? When we encounter those kind of situations, we can't help but begin our search for some kind of meaning, some kind of truth, hopefully that will help us understand all of this. And so by cutting off Pilate's question from this scene, we are in some way, we're cutting off the question that could plague us all of our life. And in doing so, we might just be diminishing what Jesus is about to accomplish in our narrative through his death on the cross. You see, the Gospel of John wants us to see and know truth. Y'all have heard me make reference through the years to some of the people, some of the conversations that I've had down at the YMCA and the Y or Planet Fitness or any other health club. Is actually an interesting phenomenon. It's an interesting grouping of people. You know, you put all these people together, and a lot of times it's people from all over the United States. It's people from all over the world. And there's a lot of differences among people that gather there, but there's also a lot of common ground. For one thing, most of them want to be healthy. Most of them want to be healthy. The reason I say most of them is because some of them just want to be there to show us how healthy they are. You know, they stand in front of the mirrors. You know, I mean, you know, they're already healthy, okay? The rest of us want to be healthy, and that's the reason we're there. We also want to be healthy in life emotionally, too, sometimes, and that, depending on how you define healthy, is kind of dependent on your life experiences. Most of us want to be in healthy relationships, so we go there instead of the bars, you know. I mean, that you want to be in healthy relationships, so go place where people want to be healthy. Makes sense, right? And then you have people there that, you know, they want to talk about their world. They want to talk about the world that surrounds them. They may use television shows or movies or stuff like that to kind of break the ice, but they want to talk about stuff. They may use sports. They may even talk about politics. I try to avoid those. You know, that they want to engage in conversation. And ultimately, yeah, if they really want to talk about life, they end up talking about faith. What does it mean to be here? They really want to talk about faith when they find out I'm a preacher. And usually the questions begin, "Preacher, don't you think..." dot, dot, dot. And generally when they begin questions in that manner, I know that, no, I'm not going to think. I'm probably not going to agree with them. But that's okay. We have healthy conversation. And the one thing you should also know about this bunch, as I've shared on Wednesday night, not all of them are Christians. If you go to the YMCA, there's a lot of people that go there that don't know what the C stands for. They don't. I mean, it's obvious from their action and their language, and that they don't know what the C stands for. They just think it's the third letter in the cool song. You know, that that they know there's a C in there, but they don't know it stands for Christian. They don't get that. Some of them are just unashamedly atheist. Some are true agnostic, not wanting or being able to say one way or another. You know, some have been hurt by the church in the past. I've heard plenty of those stories. Others are hurt by the way that they see some Christians acting in very hateful ways or not acting in the face of injustice. But no matter where people fall on that whole theological continuum, they all seem to value the quest, or should I say the question, for truth. That is a quest that people, especially our younger generation, thrive upon in their lives. And the reason I single out our younger generations is because the younger generations more readily question everything. They don't automatically buy into the values of their parents in the past for all the reasons that we've just discussed. They've seen people hurt. They've seen, and they want to know. They want to know that truth really matters to them, whatever that truth is they're searching for, because people are searching for truth. And they don't necessarily want it handed to them without regard for their own questions. You know, don't give me a romper room faith. Give me a real faith. That, I guess that's the reason that I so desperately want to tackle in verse 38. I know I'm obsessing. I get that. But, you know, it's that question of truth that dominates our lives. So what is that truth? What is that truth? Well, I think in this context, it's none other than the plain and simple truth that we all can experience and will experience suffering and mortal death in our lives. You know, that is a truth that none of us can escape. But that is the very truth that Jesus came into the world to do something about. To give us victory over mortality. To give us victory over death. To give us victory over suffering. To have a relationship with someone who's going to voluntarily submit themselves to that kind of suffering and death to show us that we can have victory over that. You see, we all have doubts, we all have fears, and God knows we all have experienced some amount of suffering in this world. And even if we've not had personal experience of suffering, we cannot escape the stories of suffering that are all around us. In this story, in this life-giving narrative that we read a portion, just a small portion from, Jesus sees all of this. He sees all of this, and he has one reaction to it, and that is compassion for us and all of creation. Jesus comes into a new reality, into the reality of our death and suffering. And in his death, which, I say, as I said, he voluntarily, he submits to that. He chooses to be a part of that, not to avoid it. And he comes to share with us in our suffering and our death so that we know, and that we see and that we trust that God is not an uncaring, all-powerful deity who sits above wondering if any of us are ever going to be good enough to make our own way into heaven. That's not who God is. And as we consider this week the things that we're thankful for, let me just say right up front, I don't know about you, but I am very thankful that he did not leave it up to me to earn my way into heaven. Amen? Do you feel good enough to make it? I don't know about you, but I don't. I know better. And I'm thankful that even in the face of suffering and trials, he knows better. He knows better than me the value of learning to walk with him through all of those trials. He's provided the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, beside us, not behind us, not pushing, not in front dragging, beside, to walk through with us. And here's another wonderful thing. When I think about my friends who may not agree with me on that particular claim of truth, I still believe that the word of promise, as it goes forth, is to embrace their lives as well. Whether they believe yet or not, Christ died for them too. The truth that Jesus brings is a truth that's for all of creation. Even and maybe especially for those who might consistently ask, what is truth? Who is truth? This week, I challenge you, be thankful. Want what you have. Be thankful. And express that thanksgiving in a way that points others to the God who gave us his Son, so we can learn the true meaning of a thankful heart. Thank you, Father. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to be thankful people. People who recognize the gift of your Son as the most glorious gift that could ever be given. People who live lives in accordance with the faith that he establishes in our lives the moment we receive him and begin our daily walk with him. Father, help us to give thanks in such a way that it's unmistakable that the Creator of the universe must be behind our thanksgiving. Help us to give thanks in such a way that others want to belong to the body of Christ. And help us as we live that life not to seek anything for ourselves, but Father, to give all of the glory to you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. If you don't have that relationship, that's where it all starts. If you say, Raymond, I don't feel thankful. Well, maybe you're not capable of feeling truly thankful until you're plugged in with God's grace and God's mercy. That only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to give you the invitation. We'll stand and sing in just a moment. And if that's you, I'd be glad to speak with you about how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you are a believer and you say, I just haven't been thankful, God forgive me, that's exactly who you need to talk to about it. Talk with him, let him forgive you, restore you, give you that heart of gratitude that expresses thanksgiving. And if you're here and you say, I'm thankful for this church family, and I want to be a member of College Park, there are many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that, and we stand and sing together now. following our benediction response, greet one another. True, we have the Holy Spirit walking beside us, but we also have this wonderful body of believers. And so greet one another. Be sure and welcome our guest. Mary, if I told you what a wonderful job you did greeting our guest, but now is your opportunity to greet our guest as well. Let's have a word of prayer together as we go. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the chance to assemble here as your people. But Father, help us as we leave from this place not to be content with praising and worshiping you here, but Father, to praise and worship you every single day, every minute of every day, with every breath that we have, so that others can come to know you in a way that gives meaning and richness and fullness to their life. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
Go out and be-